What does happiness mean to me? I think the things that bring me the most joy right now is my kids, and like watching them and seeing them learn and grow and do all the things that that they're involved in. Spending time with my family brings me a lot of happiness and joy. But I think it's really just things that light you up and give you energy, and things that get you excited to get out of bed and make you want to stay up late at night, and things that you're constantly thinking about.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think, happiness to me means finding joy in the present moment and then being able to maximize that with others. Welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dope podcast. Today we have Lowry Akers joining us. We're going to talk about mental health, joy, and fulfillment, and get into the nitty gritty and learn more about your story. So
cool.
Why don't we start with who you are and like why you're here? Because you've been a good friend to Dirty Dough and have seen us along our path. And why don't you start telling us about how you even got connected?
Sure. Yeah. A little bit about me. I live here in Utah with my wife and three kids. We've got two girls, 8 and 3.
Cool.
And a boy who's 6 months old. So we spend a lot of time with our kids. We've got a dog also. We're big into sports, and so we like to go to all the youth soccer and gymnastics and all that stuff. So, and connected, how we got connected, my wife actually went to high school with Bennett.
Okay.
So she knows Bennett and has for a long time, and knows kind of his group of friends, and has stayed in touch. And when he acquired Dirty Dough and kind of moved back from California, we had gotten connected. And that's kind of the backstory of it.
What a crazy little ride. And here we are today with 34 and 380. So you've seen the whole progression. So you saw it when Bennett was just the one location in Tempe, Arizona, to what it's become. I think what might be helpful is giving some context to what you've seen in the franchise space, kind of a little bit about how you even got involved in this type of industry, which could lead into many more questions. Why don't we start there?
That's a good place to start. My background in franchising has been, it's been kind of a roller coaster. It's been a lot of fun. I've been in franchising since 2016.
Cool.
So I started with a restaurant management group in Salt Lake City. It was a Jimmy John's franchisee. And honestly, a lot of people, talk about franchising and how they fell into franchising. Like, they didn't choose to get into franchising. It just kind of happened, and somehow they fell into it. And I was the same way. I had a good friend, a mission friend, who had done some legal work for this group and had connected me to them. So I was looking for a new position. I'd been in tech sales for a long time and had, kind of gotten burnt out from that, and was looking for something new, and they had an opportunity, and the timing was right. So I got started with this restaurant management group. Jimmy John's franchisee was there for about 3 years.
Why restaurants? Like, it's such a weird pivot. That's how I felt when I got into restaurants.
Yeah, honestly, I was looking to get into like human resources is like what I had said. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, right? I had gone to school. My background had primarily been in sales. So I'd done a bunch of the door-to-door sales stuff, had been in tech sales for a couple of years, and then was wanting to transition and get out of sales. Like, I was just kind of done with that path. And I was studying sociology and figured that a good mix of my skills and my background and my degree was human resources.
Cool.
And so again, it just kind of happened that this group was looking to hire someone to manage some of the human resources for them. So yeah, got started, got into Jimmy John's. I had never been to a Jimmy John's before, right? Like, had never eaten the food. Knew very little about franchising and like what it was or how it worked, and got a ton of exposure to the franchise world. Learned a lot from the owners of that group, and have been in franchising ever since.
And I think there's some like key takeaways. One, kind of the role and responsibility that you took on kind of evolved, but also like, what do you think was like, in looking at like what made that group successful, like what made, or what are some secret sauces that you found in franchising that are like a formula for success?
Yeah, my role definitely evolved. with that group. I was with that group for 3 years, and I started out as just kind of an HR generalist. And eventually, you know, by the time I left, I was managing all human resources. I was managing insurance and compliance. I was managing IT for the locations, facilities maintenance, and then construction. So was managing and kind of wearing a bunch of different hats, was basically on call 24/7, right? And it was always bad news when I got a call. But I learned a ton from the group. The owners of that group, they're probably 4 or 5 years older than me.
Okay.
And they had started when they were, you know, in their mid 20s, started with one location and, you know, built the group up to, when I started, they had 23 locations.
Wow.
Where they had either acquired or built kind of from scratch. And now they're at like 37 plus locations. That's so I've stayed in close contact with them and have learned a lot. You know, they've been mentors for me in, you know, everything that I've done. And I think, you know, factors for success for them is they were all about their people. You know, they kind of talked about three P's. Well, kind of their three pillars, I guess I should say, is people, operations, and then profit. Where if you have the right people and you take care of your people, and you have kind of rock star operations, then the profit will come. And so that was their focus, and it was in that order. And they lived it. You know, everything from the top down was kind of represented by them.
I think it's so key. Like, profits will come. The product and process have to be good. If you let it operate, the business will take care of itself.
Right.
You can simplify it. And I think that going back to the evolution of your role in there speaks to a lot of your character and to kind of what you're doing now and what you're trying to build right now as far as being a trusted advocate for franchise systems. Mm-hmm. And the ability for you to take on other things, which I was very impressed with when I first, you know, spoke with you. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about what you're doing now and what some of those keys and advantages of that you're seeing in the market?
Yeah. So, I left that group, but, I remember the first day that I was there, I sat in a training with the CEO, and he just kind of walked me through their processes, told me a couple of stories. And, I remember, you know, leaving that meeting and kind of having this like eye opening, like, I want to be Darren. Like, I want to be Doug, who's his father-in-law and one of the capital partners there. And kind of having this thought in the back of my mind that stayed with me the whole time I was there, like, I want to be these guys. And it happened because I saw the life that like franchising had brought to them.
Cool.
And saw like, you know, the lifestyle and the freedom and the time and the money and all those things that they had from starting as a Jimmy John's franchisee.
Yeah.
Right. So I kind of had this spark and wanted to become an entrepreneur and wanted to be a franchisee. And, you know, that was what I thought anyways. Yeah. I left that group and I actually joined Crumble Cookies on their corporate team. I managed build out and construction for them, onboarding of, you know, for new franchisees, and then eventually the franchise sales and development, and wanted to become a franchisee there. We went through a bunch of hurdles and you know, challenges in trying to become a franchisee, which is kind of led to what I'm doing today. But the biggest one is,
and to clarify, you are on the Crumble team trying to get to be a franchisee.
Correct. Yeah.
And Crumble has a very high performing operation, everybody knows, but there's still struggles that come with it.
Yeah. The challenge that we had was financing.
Cool.
And you're getting the capital. We were undercapitalized. It was my brother and I that were trying to become franchisees. And it was hard to come up with the capital to get some locations open, right? Yep. As an undercapitalized entrepreneur, want to be franchisee, it's difficult. And so we ultimately found some partners who provided capital and helped, you know, get some locations open. But throughout that process, what we realized is that there were a lot of other individuals like ourselves who wanted to be franchise owners and, you know, own a business, be an entrepreneur, but lacked the capital or lacked some alternative options to financing to get these franchises open.
Yeah.
And so the dream that they had just kind of died if they couldn't find some alternative options.
It's not even a fair start.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. You know, a lot of the guys getting into franchising, they maybe have a rich relative or someone that can help them out. But if you don't have that, or if you don't know how to start those conversations, you can get into a, a pretty tough partnership.
Yeah.
And you just kind of start behind the eight ball, right? Like you just start in a bad position. And so we realized that there were a lot of people like us who needed some alternative options for funding their franchises. And we had also learned that there were a lot of investors who wanted to own franchises, but passively. And they didn't want to, you know, be involved in the day-to-day. So we started a company called Bridge Syndicates. And the idea is to connect the undercapitalized operators with investors and help create franchise owners. So basically a solution that we would have used when we were kind of starting out and going through that process of becoming a franchisee. We're trying to be that for other people. So it's kind of a mix of franchising and consulting and private equity, but it's been a lot of fun.
And how do you find the deals that you go after, right? Because you kind of sit in the middle of matchmaker. Like
right.
you've seen a lot now. So now what are some of the things that you look for to make it a successful win?
Yeah. So we get a lot of deals just kind of organically that come to us. I try and post and be active on LinkedIn and kind of share and add value about franchising and what it is and just share some of the like the insights and the passion and kind of the spark that I had gotten when I started with this Jimmy Jones group. So a lot of deals come from that, you know, people who are, undercapitalized wanting to be franchise owners, they see what we're doing and it resonates. And so they'll reach out. But really like you said, we want it to be a good deal and we kind of have to make it a win-win for everyone. We want it to be a win for investors or else we can't, you know, raise money. Yeah. No one wants to invest in a deal if it's a bad deal and they're not going to make any money on it.
Yep.
So we have to make it a win for investors and it has to be an appealing opportunity for them. But it also has to make sense for the operators.
Yep.
Because they're the ones that are running the business and, you know, driving the success to be able to return money to investors, right? So it has to be a good deal for them. They have to be happy and motivated and have the incentives to do well and to succeed. So we typically start backwards and we say, hey, what's the total capital that's needed for this opportunity? We want to return that within 2 to 3 years. So if we get $500,000 as kind of the initial investment, we want to return that $500,000 within that 2 to 3 year period. And then we'll start backwards from there. And how can we make that happen? Structuring equity or kind of preferred profit sharing returns for the investors and make sure that it makes sense for the operators as well. And if it does, then we'll move forward and try and create that opportunity and raise the capital.
Which a 2 to 3 year payback period is awesome.
Like, right.
That's
yeah. I mean, it's,
for an investor.
It's pretty unheard of, right. In a lot of franchise opportunities. So,
well, thanks for sharing the background there. And I think that gives some character to who you are and what you've been dealing with for the past little bit and hopping over to a little bit more of like the mental health side. Like what brings you joy and fulfillment and what does happiness mean to you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say happiness. Like what does happiness mean to me? I think happiness and like success can be like pretty similar, right? Where everyone has their own definition of what they are. I think the things that bring me the most joy right now is my kids, and like watching them and seeing them learn and grow and do all the things that, that they're involved in. Spending time with my family brings me a lot of happiness and joy. Yeah, that's hard to have like just a quick definition of happiness. But I think it's really just things that light you up and give you energy and things that get you excited to, you know, get out of bed and make you want to stay up late at night and things that you're constantly thinking about.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, happiness to me means finding joy in the present moment and then being able to maximize that with others, because without, you know, being able to share those happy moments is meaningful and not just having it for yourself. But what brings you, and so now we know what it means, like what brings you joy and fulfillment and how are you maximizing that or being intentional about it?
There's probably a couple different like categories that I try and find like joy or happiness or fulfillment in. It's like with my family, right? And then professionally, and then personally. So Personally, things that bring me joy and fulfillment, I enjoy exercising. Like, I like working out. It's a hobby. I like to play golf as well, right? So,
did you play sports when you were younger?
Yeah.
What sports did you play?
I played a little bit of everything, but football and baseball primarily. Okay. A little bit of basketball as well.
Got it. So, did you ever play collegiately?
Yeah, I actually played football and baseball in college.
Yeah, you were busy.
So, yeah. So yeah, sports and, you know, working out and kind of having that competitive fire, right? Like, brings me a lot of joy and fulfillment personally. Professionally, one thing that I've tried to focus on and think about a lot lately is like the zone of genius. If you've heard of the zone of genius, where like, you find things that you're good at, things that you enjoy doing, and things that you can be paid for, and only focus on those things, right? Like, what brings you energy? And so I have found, and part of the reason why we're trying to build Bridge Syndicates is because that process brings me joy and fulfillment. Yeah. I like helping others to succeed. I think I'm a natural like connector. And so I like helping other people connect with opportunities. And so whether that's an undercapitalized operator or an investor, I like kind of bringing things to the table to help them and solve a problem that they each have. Doing deals, kind of being a creative problem solver are things that I like and things that give me energy. And then with my family, like I mentioned, it's just being with my kids and helping them to learn and grow and kind of get through challenges. And they're in sports and stuff right now. I mean, my 6-month-old is not, he loves watching. I'll kick a soccer ball out, you know, in my backyard, and he just gets so excited watching it around. So just spending time with my family and being with my kids is something that brings me joy.
How do you help instill some of those practices into your family or into your kids? Like, I think as like an adult, I don't have kids, but like, what advice would you give someone that doesn't have kids, how to show up, be present, have joy and fulfillment with your kids and teach them that?
Oh man. Yeah. I think, you know, there's the saying that like actions speak louder than words. I think helping them to like see you living like and doing the things that give you joy and passion, right? So like, if I'm communicating and saying, hey, the things that I like to do and the things that are important are exercising and eating healthy and living right and doing all those things. If I'm just saying that, right, and I'm not actually doing that, if I'm never going and exercising or going and playing sports and or eating healthy, then they can see that, like, and they pick up on that pretty quick. Kids are really, really smart. and so I think smart. Just, yeah, like practicing what you preach, you're doing what you say you're going to do. I think kids learn that stuff pretty quick.
I love that. And I think as like parents and as role models, whether it's an employee or in the family unit, like as an entrepreneur, we have probably like one of the heaviest loads that we have to learn to balance. And so It's like a balance of like being real and being vulnerable in those moments to show like, hey, I'm having a good day or a bad day, right? Allowing it to be there so people can learn and understand where you're actually at. Because it is a roller coaster being an entrepreneur and in the shoes that we like to step into. And
it is.
I wish it could all be happiness, but there's down days or exhausting days. And, you know, it's cool to see people show up that love you and want to care about you.
Right.
When we talk about like the happiness side, there's also the flip side when it comes to like mental health and struggles.
Yeah.
Like, have you had struggles with your mental health and what have you done to combat those?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, like a healthy lifestyle overall, I think has helped me to avoid significant like challenge or struggles when it comes to mental health. One thing that, you know, as you're talking, it made me think of one of my favorite quotes that I had come across recently about entrepreneurship was, it says, entrepreneurship is the relentless pursuit of opportunities despite resources that you currently control.
Yep.
Right. So there's a lot that you could like drill in and kind of pick apart in that, right? It's it's a relentless pursuit. Like entrepreneurship really is. Like it's hard, it's challenging. You got to relentlessly go after it. It's all kind of opportunistic. And a lot of times it's without knowing or having any resources, right? So whether it's capital or knowledge or experience, like you're pushing through and figuring those things out without those resources. So yeah, I mean, entrepreneurship has been tough the last couple of years that we've spent building Bridge. There's been some challenges of navigating two industries that are pretty heavily regulated, right? Mm. Like both franchising and everything being regulated by the FTC and franchisors and doing that the right way. And then raising capital, right? Where you're dealing with the SEC and having to deal with accredited investors and a pre-existing relationship and all of those factors as well. Yep. It's been tough. You know, we're going after a market or a service that there's not a ton of other people doing what we're doing in the franchise space. At least at the level that we're doing it. There's definitely a lot of private equity in franchising, but it's been tough. There's definitely days that are a lot more motivating and exciting and energetic, and there's days that really drain you. There's a lot of times when you feel like alone, you know, in what you're trying to work on, and feel like no one else will really understand the challenges that you're going through. Even people who are close, right? Like even my brother, like a business partner, even my wife, you know. Yeah. There's definitely some challenging pieces to it.
How do you dive deeper within yourself to like channel energy or motivation to like keep moving the needle forward? Because you're constantly getting beat up and finding that deeper level. Like, how do you go about that? And what's been successful for you?
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple pieces to that. One is, and it could be seen as either like a blessing or a curse, but I think in building Bridge and kind of on this entrepreneurial pursuit, I can see the future of like what is going to happen if everything works out how I think it should, right? Like you kind of paint this picture and you have this vision of what success is going to look like and how it's going to impact me and my family and all of these other people that we can help and work with. And you can already see that and kind of visualize that opportunity. And so I think that is super motivating for me to keep pushing, right? If I'm running into a hurdle or if I feel like I'm banging my head against a wall, like I can go back and picture like this ideal scenario of what it's going to look like in the future, whether that's a year from now or 5 years or 10 years, however long it's going to be. But that keeps me moving forward. Another side is being able to see and kind of have an idea of what life would look like if you fail or if you give up and if you don't succeed. And I think it's motivating from both ends, right? Like what am I running towards and what am I running from? So there's a lot of people that are motivated by winning and there's a lot of people that are motivated by not losing, right? And I'm probably somewhere in the middle. Both of those things help me to kind of keep going and keep pushing and to dig down and keep going when it's hard.
Here's like a real question that I ask myself all the time or reflect on of like, what percentage of the time do you actually know what you're doing? Like that is like the
hot that's a good one.
Question for every entrepreneur right now.
Yeah. That's a good question. If I was to give a percentage, I would say maybe 60% of the time I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
And that might be a little bit exaggerated, but there's certain aspects to I've been involved in franchising, so I feel like I understand that pretty well. Yeah. Building a business and starting something new and kind of bringing in the private equity side of things to it and raising capital, like there are a lot of things that I have no idea what I'm doing, right? And and a lot of times where I'm like, man, you have this like imposter syndrome, right? We're like, hey, what am I doing here, right? Like I'm not the person to be doing this. There's people who are far more capable and who are much smarter and who know more and have more experience and better connections. And but it's been fun, right? Like there's the the boss that I had, the CEO of that Jimmy John's group, when I left that group, I had reached out to them and asked and said, "Hey, I'm considering getting into franchising. What's some advice that you'd give to someone who's like just getting started?" Yeah. And one of the things that he mentioned is, he said, you know, entrepreneurship is hard, and everyone's going to tell you that you're crazy and that, you know, it's not going to work and that you're crazy for like trying to start this and go out and do this thing. And he said, and honestly, you have to be a little bit crazy, right? Like, and it's true. Like, I think you got to be a little bit wild and a little bit nuts to like put everything off and sacrifice the things that you do to try and build something new. Right. Yep. So, and that's another reason why I like franchising, is because you're not always building something new.
Well, that's right. The bet is hedged when you're in franchise. Like, that's one thing that the U.S. has figured out is these playbooks, franchising. Yep. Like, banks will underwrite it, and it's this beautiful model where you stand up and figure it out, you learn it, and it's kind of like a hidden secret in the U.S.
Right.
It's like, why start something from scratch when you can have an amazing franchise business model that's proven and works and is scalable? And, you know, for people out there, like, what's unique is you can build a portfolio of 4 or 5 locations, have enough cash flow to do whatever you need to.
Sure.
And really provide a lot of freedoms for your family, which is very different than most businesses, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's like a big selling point to what we're trying to do, right? And if we're raising capital, the investors are obviously betting on the franchise brands, and they're betting on me a little bit, you know, kind of selling this opportunity, but they're also betting on the operator who's going to be running the day-to-day management. But the thing that we say all the time is we don't necessarily have to pick the A-plus players. We try to, right? We try and get the best operators who are going to give us the highest chances of success. But ultimately, we just have to pick people who aren't going to be losers, right? Like, yeah, people who can follow a system and follow a playbook that the franchisor is going to provide, because the franchisor is going to provide the training, the systems, the marketing. Like, they're going to provide all the things that you need to do. Yep. And you just have to follow that system and run it and be involved and manage that business. So you're right. Yeah, like the risk is definitely mitigated, you know, when you're getting into franchise businesses. And that's why we love it.
I love it. Kind of last question here, but how do you want to be remembered?
That's a good question. I don't know, honestly. I think I want to be remembered as someone who helped other people to get better, right, and to improve. You know, one saying about Michael Jordan is that he made everyone else around him better. And I think that's probably a good way to be remembered, is like, hey, you made everyone else around you or anyone that you interacted with a little bit better.
Yeah.
In some aspect. So yeah, being someone who's selfless, who is, you know, generous and always willing to help and add value and making other people better.
Love that. Absolutely love that. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Yeah. And, you know, how do people connect with you after this? Like, you've had an amazing story. How can they connect?
Yeah. LinkedIn, Lowry Acres, you can find me there. Our website, you can find us there if you're interested in either being an operator or an investor. Bridge Syndicates, Bridge is with 2 I's. So bridgesyndicates.com. Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the easiest place. Yeah, this has been fun. It's you and I had chatted, I don't know how many months ago.
Oh, like 4 or 5 months ago, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you guys are definitely busy over here, and yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Lowry.